You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend and happy Timberwolves game day. Wolves Clippers part two is this evening at Target Center, the second consecutive game that the Clippers have been in Minneapolis. And then the Wolves head out on the road for their first multi-game road trip of the season, believe it or not, more than 2 weeks in. Today on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about that matchup. Not a ton because we just saw this play out on Wednesday, but just a couple of news and notes coming out of practice on Thursday, as well as of course the now infamous Karl Anthony Towns the Twitter activity that happened late Wednesday after the game from Towns. We'll peek ahead at next week's schedule, and then I want to spend most of the time looking at some small sample size statistics a couple weeks into the season, including some 5-man lineups, some 2-man lineups featuring Jared Vanderbilt and Jaden McDaniels that I think are really interesting, albeit just 7 games into the season, but notable nonetheless. First of all, though, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube, as well as, of course, all the regular audio platforms, really all of them across the board, including Apple, Google, Spotify, and, of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On T-Wolves, and at my account, at BBeacon, with 2 Bs, 2 Es, C-K-E-N. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about a couple of these news and notes. First of all, the Karl Anthony Towns tweet, which at this point, I mean, we're whenever you're listening to this, somewhere between 24 and 36 hours past this all happening. If you missed it, Karl Anthony Towns apparently liked a tweet from somebody saying, basically suggesting that Towns wants to get out of Minnesota. It was a kind of a tweet thread that somebody had put up. Towns liked the tweet. Shortly thereafter, it was unliked. He was asked about it by the media, I believe by Dane Moore on Thursday, and he said basically, hey, I didn't do that. I was hacked. I was sleeping when this happened. 3 people have access to my account. I've said before I want to be in Minnesota. And he kind of went through the whole thing. And I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to sit here and speculate too much on what he's saying. We've seen athletes say, hey, I was hacked before. Seems to be a weird thing to hack somebody's account and like a tweet and then get out and do nothing else. But on the other hand, Towns has said very publicly many times that he wanted to be in Minnesota. So I take him at his word when it comes to that. Either way, I guess this would still be lying if you're Towns and still not a smart thing to like the tweet in the first place. But I think it's just as likely that it was a reaction to the number of shots he's getting up per game, and maybe kind of a subtle dig at the way the offense is being run more than anything. And we could point the finger at Chris Finch. We could point the finger at D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, those who are initiating the offense. But Towns has not been utilized to the extent that he should be. I mean, he's averaging, 16.5 shot attempts per game, which is fine, but it's not where you want him to be. His usage rate, we talked about this the other day on the show, it's now third on the team behind Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. Absolutely not what you want from one of the most efficient shooters, period, in the league, and the best shooting big man of all time, and one of the better shooters of all time. He can't be third on your team in usage rate. So in my mind, that's probably, I guess I am now speculating that he's lying about it. I feel like it's probably pretty likely he liked the tweet and was thinking of it in that sense. I mean, why would you be all of a sudden after saying all this stuff publicly about wanting to be in Minnesota after a couple of poor games, suddenly being really frustrated and wanting to be out? That doesn't make a ton of sense. So I don't know. I don't know that it's certainly not fire alarm worthy at this point. The sky is not falling. The Timberwolves are 3-4. If they beat the Clippers convincingly on Friday, I think everybody's going to feel a lot better about everything. We do know that Patrick Beverley is going to miss the game, D'Angelo Russell is going to miss the game Friday due to the ankle sprain that caused him to miss Wednesday's game against the Clippers. So Patrick Beverley will likely be the starter again. He almost had a triple double against his former team Wednesday. And, he's been one of the Wolves' probably best 3 players this so far this season. I guess he's missed 2 games due to the suspension and 1 due to the calf injury. But He's not listed on the injury report at all for Friday. Only D'Angelo Russell is. So I would expect Beverly to start at point guard again. And then one last quick note that came out, not related to Wolves Clippers Friday. Although I guess the last thing I'll say about that is I think the Wolves will win this game. I don't know what the line is. It's probably 3.5 points with no D'Angelo Russell and the Clippers still have all the same injuries. And with the Clippers winning fairly easily Wednesday, that was a 2.5 point spread. I'm guessing this is a 3.5 point line in favor of the Clippers. But I think this is a game. I think the Wolves will win. I think they'll bounce back. I talked about this on the postgame pod late Wednesday into Thursday, that the Clippers aren't going to shoot like this again. They're not going to shoot 60% from the field again. They're not going to shoot 58% on three-pointers again, ever, probably. And the Wolves, as long as they play defense like they did for most of the first part of that game and most of the season so far, I think they'll be all right. I think the Wolves will win the game on Friday, and we'll feel a lot better about the weekend with the Wolves sitting at 4-4. One last thing, Darren Wolfson of KSCP and Score North in the Twin Cities on his Scoop podcast, which is fantastic. Y'all should make sure you're subscribed and listening to that as well. Doogie talked about Ben Simmons and the Timberwolves' interest in Simmons. Apparently, according to Doogie, Sachin Gupta, of course, is running the Timberwolves' front office, has not talked to the Sixers in several weeks about, or he says a couple of weeks was the exact quote, a couple of weeks he has not talked to Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. Of course, Simmons hasn't practiced with the team, haven't talked about him on the show now in a couple of weeks because it's just kind of a Philly saga at this point, and the Wolves started out so well, it seemed like there was no chance they would trade for him. Now, of course, D'Angelo Russell started out so poorly, I don't think there's any chance the Sixers would be excited about taking D'Angelo Russell as the centerpiece. Even Russell plus McDaniels plus, you know, three first rounders probably isn't enough for Ben Simmons still if you're Daryl Morey and the Sixers. But Wolfson did reiterate that several weeks ago, I think he said 3 to 4 weeks ago, Sachin Gupta reached out, planted the seed that he was interested in Ben Simmons. And then more recently kind of had checked in a couple of weeks ago, but hasn't since then. And hey, that's not a surprise. We don't see very many trades in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the NBA season. There's sometimes some right before the season. Once we get into mid to late December, that's when things start to heat up a little bit more. And with Simmons not in the facility, not making a ton of noise around the team right now, and just kind of being at this point kind of an afterthought, I think that that's kind of allowed the fire to not be stoked quite as much as it was a couple of weeks ago. So nothing really new on that front, just interesting. Peeking ahead to the Timberwolves schedule moving forward, they have the Clippers Friday, of course, and then after that they actually have two more off days consecutively, Saturday, Sunday, before going out on the road, and they'll be in Memphis on Monday, and then after that Golden State on Wednesday. And then Friday, Saturday of next weekend, the first back-to-backs of the Timberwolves season so far, which is interesting. They're both games are in the same city, though. They're both in LA. They play the Lakers next Friday and then at the Clippers next Saturday. So they'll play the Clippers three times now already in the first couple weeks of the season. That's a tough road trip. I mean, those are four very likely playoff teams in Memphis, Golden State, the Lakers, and the Clippers, all on the road. First time this season the Wolves have left the Midwest, and the first time they'll have played more than one game at a time on the road. All in, you know, I guess after going slightly east to face Memphis, then they go all the way to the west to take on three teams in California. And then they come back home for four consecutive at home next week, or the week after next, I should say. So the schedule is still not all that crazy. And that next homestand will include games against Sacramento and San Antonio, who are both teams the Wolves should finish ahead of in the West if they can right the ship here at some point, hopefully. But at any rate, this is a really important game. The Wolves need to be 4-4 when they go on this road trip, because finishing the road trip 2-2, splitting those four games on the road against four likely playoff teams would be a win. And that would, of course, mean that going into the road trip with a 500 record would be fantastic. Okay, next what I want to do is I want to look at some of the best five-man lineups, the Jared Vanderbilt, Jaden McDaniels lineups. I think there's some interesting data there, so we're going to hit all that here in just a second. First, though, let's talk about the title sponsors of today's show, and that is, of course, our friends at McDonald's. This episode of Locked on Wolves is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. My family does that all the time. Anytime we're on a morning road trip, sausage egg McMuffins, late at night, McDoubles on the way home from work. Actually, I had a McDouble and fries for lunch today. McDonald's is a really regular place to stop and get delicious, affordable food. Head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say a Locked On Wolves watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. All right, let's also talk about Calm. Calm is recent friends of ours. And you know who else is friends with Calm? LeBron James. When it comes to athletes, we tend to focus on physical fitness, but there's another side to the game that's just as important, and that's mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind and become the champion version of yourself. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, but you don't have to be a world champion to learn how to train it. Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, reduce your stress, and perform at your best, just like King James. For LeBron, sleep is a critical part of his mental fitness routine. As he says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. From the sound of rain falling on leaves to bedtime sleep stories, Calm puts me to sleep within minutes, which means I can wake up ready for any challenge," unquote. So if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, for a limited time, you get 40% off a Calm premium subscription. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations, so you can be ready for any challenges that life throws your way. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm and get a 40% discount on a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of this lineup data. I think this is fascinating. And then we'll close the show by looking at some individual small sample size numbers. It's been, I guess, about a week since we did this last, and I think it's a ton of fun. Let's start with the lineup data. So first of all, in terms of the Wolves' best five-man lineups, so I want to look at lineups that the Wolves, and I chose, admittedly, a relatively arbitrary number. I chose five-man lineups that have played 17 or more minutes together. Why? Because there seemed to be kind of a threshold there with lineups that have played under 17. There weren't very many. There was kind of a gap. So I took the four most played lineups, most played five-man lineups for the Wolves this year. The best one has only played 17 minutes together. And interestingly, it is Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Karl-Anthony Towns. Or another way to look at this is the starting lineup from Wednesday, but with Malik Beasley instead of Josh Okogie. They have a net rating of 31.4 in 17 minutes so far this season. The second best lineup is that lineup, but with D'Angelo Russell instead of Patrick Beverley. So again, with Beasley on the floor, as well as Towns, Edwards, and McDaniels. The third best lineup is that same lineup, but with Vanderbilt on the floor instead of Malik Beasley. So Russell, Towns, Vanderbilt, Edwards, and McDaniels. And then the fourth best lineup so far this season, which only has a net rating of 2.3, is Russell, Towns, Okogie, Edwards, and McDaniels. So what do we take from this? Well, first of all, obviously Towns is in all four of those lineups. Malik Beasley's in two of them, which is interesting. Jaden McDaniels is in all four of them, and Anthony Edwards is in all four of them. So maybe that part isn't surprising, the Towns-McDaniels-Edwards piece. And also that Patrick Beverley, the lineup that includes Beverley is by far the best five-man lineup we've seen so far this season. Could this be the starting lineup we see on Friday? Probably not. I think that Chris Finch is going to stick with Malik Beasley coming off the bench, especially now that he's played two of the last three games, he's played fairly well. I said before the season, I'm going to continue to beat this drum. I think Malik Beasley should be in the starting lineup. I think putting him in the starting lineup makes a ton of sense, especially with D'Angelo Russell out, right? When Russell's in the lineup, you know that D'Lo's going to hunt shots. You know Towns is going to get plays called for him, and Anthony Edwards is going to get his shots. And so Malik Beasley's easily your fourth option. But with no D'Lo, Patrick Beverley is a relatively low usage point guard and not a primary playmaker. Right? When Beverly's on the floor, Edwards is going to use a certain number of possessions himself initiating the offense, and Beverly can play off the ball. So why not also have Beasley play off the ball? Have Edwards run the offense with Beverly and Beasley essentially running the wings off the ball with Edwards, with McDaniels and Towns in the front court. To me, that seems to make a ton of sense. And I understand the apprehension with weakening the bench unit, but it's not like the bench unit has played that well either. You still have Jared Vanderbilt to come off the bench to provide some energy. Jalen Noel, I think, should get a chance, especially if he is going to take Torian Prince's spot in the rotation. I don't know that he will, but remember, he did in the second half on Wednesday. Prince didn't play in the second half. Jalen Noel got those minutes. Jalen Noel, I've been pounding this drum for a while now, too. I think he's a sixth man, a scoring sixth man upside type guy. Now's not the worst chance to give him a chance to come off the bench as instant offense. You know, so you have Jordan McLaughlin, Jalen Noel, and Jared Vanderbilt, Naz Reid, who's going to, I mean, he's been really good offensively the last few games. Give him an opportunity to score on the second unit. Plus, you stagger your subs anyway. The Wolves are already doing that, especially with D'Angelo Russell out. Ant getting the first sub out of the game, coming back in early in the second quarter with Towns still on the bench. You're only going a couple minutes with Ant and Towns both off the floor. You're already staggering your subs so that you have one of those guys on the floor at all times. Do the same thing with Beasley, if that's what you're so concerned about. Let Beasley come back with the second unit as well. Take him off the floor midway through the first quarter, 6-7 minutes into the game. I think that Beasley will play best because, remember, I understand the idea of putting a higher usage guy off the bench, giving him the opportunity to score. However, Beasley's not your traditional high usage scorer, right? He's not using possessions by being the ball handler in a pick and roll situation or by playing in isolation or by posting up. Beasley's scoring his points and getting his shots up in the fast break, running to the rim or spacing out into the corner, or as a cutter, occasionally as a pick and roll ball handler, but he's not looking to distribute out of the pick and roll because he's not that guy. He's a guy who other people do the work for him. He catches and shoots. He catches and scores. He catches and gets to the rim. That's what he does best. And so he plays well off of other players who are good passers, like a Towns or an Edwards, who's continued to improve as a passer. And Edwards has enough scoring gravity that if he's got the ball anywhere on the floor, defenders are going to be sucked towards him, leaving Beasley open to shoot. And the more Beasley plays with an Edwards and with a Towns, the more successful Beasley's going to be. If he's playing with the second unit with Jordan McLaughlin and Naz Reid and Torian Prince, there's no scoring gravity there. Beasley is the guy who can score, but teams also know he's not going to put the ball on the floor and get to the basket. So they allow him to do his thing, and Beasley has not gotten into a rhythm yet. Beasley is best used with other high usage players. And I know that seems counterintuitive to some extent, but I think that's the best way that they could use Malik Beasley. And that's what I've been clamoring for them to do. And I think now more than ever, it seems like a really obvious thing when D'Angelo Russell's out, put Beasley in the starting lineup. Put him in the starting lineup with Patrick Beverley, with Anthony Edwards, with Karl-Anthony Towns, with Jaden McDaniels. I think that's the best use for Malik Beasley at this stage. Okay, I want to talk about the Vando McDaniels thing and then just a couple of quick individual statistics that have stuck out to me. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It's fantastic. And by the way, I love Thanksgiving. All of the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert, but one that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't even tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's go ahead and talk lineups again. Jared Vanderbilt and Jaden McDaniels. This one's really interesting to me. So first of all, let's talk about Jared Vanderbilt. So if you look at Jared Vanderbilt's two-man lineups at NBA.com, I should have said earlier, that's where I was pulling the five-man lineups is from NBA.com advanced stats. So if you pull the two-man lineups, Jared Vanderbilt only has one positive lineup in which he's played more than 3 minutes. He's got three lineups. He's only played 3 minutes total with Josh Okogie, 1 minute with Balmaro, and 1 minute with Nathan Knight, garbage time the other day. So throw those out. He only has one positive net rating lineup that he's played with, which, or I should say two-man pairing that he's played with, which first of all, that surprised me quite a bit. But what surprised me, what did not surprise me is who it was. His two-man with Jaden McDaniels is fantastic as compared to the rest of his two-man lineups. 3.6 net rating. So, I mean, not in grand scheme of things, not great, but it's his only positive one. McDaniels and Vanderbilt together as a two-man lineup. The rest of his two-mans are all negative. In fact, his two-man with Carl Anthony Towns, which is the one he's got, is his second most next to Anthony Edwards. The one with Towns is a minus 19.7, which was shocking to me. You go back and look at last year, that number was a lot better. So I thought that was interesting. But then you look at Jaden McDaniels' two-man lineups, and like I said, the one with Vanderbilt was a positive, a plus 3.6. His other ones that he's used the most are, well, actually, I should say all of them, except for Naz Reid. All of McDaniels' two-man lineups are neutral or positive. And actually, the only one that's neutral is Jalen Noel, which he's only had 6 minutes with Noel. Everybody else is positive. With Torian Prince, they've only played 13 minutes. That's a 41.4, so we'll throw that one out. 59 minutes with Malik Beasley. McDaniels' net rating is 14.8. With Anthony Edwards, 177 minutes, 11.5. With Carl Anthony Towns, 166 minutes, 11.4. And on down the line, he's got a bunch in that 10 to 15 range, a plus 10 to 15 range net rating. You look at some other advanced metrics, and Jaden McDaniels is a little bit lower. He hasn't done a ton offensively. He doesn't rebound the ball like Jared Vanderbilt, and so some of those numbers get skewed because of, well, I shouldn't say skewed, but they take into account defensive rebounding a bit more depending on which stat you're pulling. But all this, again, underscores a point I've made for a while now. I think the Wolves' best lineups are with Jaden McDaniels and Jared Vanderbilt on the floor, with Jaden McDaniels at the three, Jared Vanderbilt at the four. I'm not advocating for starting both of them. I think that one of them should start and one maybe comes off the bench. Or if you're not going to start Malik Beasley anyway, then you start Anthony Edwards at the two, McDaniels at the three, and Jared Vanderbilt at the four. I probably wouldn't do that with Beverly at the one. I think when D'Lo's healthy, you start D'Angelo Russell at the one, and then you could have Edwards at the two with McDaniels at the three and Vanderbilt at the four. Just because I think you need another high usage guy if you're going to start Vanderbilt. But to this point, Vanderbilt's been so much better than Josh Okogie in really every sense that outside of those like 3 minutes in the third quarter on Wednesday when Josh went nuts. But Vanderbilt is just a bigger, better rebounding version of Josh Okogie, who doesn't try to do too much on offense. I talked about this the other day on the show. I think it was Monday or Tuesday's show. And so if you plug McDaniels into the starting lineup instead of Josh Okogie, and you, I should say, plug Vanderbilt in and slide McDaniels down to the three, that's a much better starting five. It's much longer. It's every bit as athletic. Same amount of offensive punch. But again, you've got a guy in Vanderbilt who's not going to linger on the perimeter, and teams aren't going to just dare him to shoot like they do with the Okogie. And then you still have Anthony Edwards at the two and Beverly at the one, and Edwards and Towns are your entire offense. But I think that's fine. I mean, you want those two guys to take the majority of your shots. And McDaniels and Beverly are good enough shooters that they can keep defenses honest. So, I said this in the postgame pod after Wednesday's loss, that those McDaniels plus Vanderbilt minutes in the middle of the fourth quarter, the Wolves cut it from, a 14-point deficit, 15-point deficit maybe at the start of the quarter, down to eight, and then Vanderbilt got pulled off the floor and the Wolves put back in, I forget who he came out in favor of at that point. It was in favor of Beasley because Edwards slid to the three and Beasley played the two. And I'm not saying that that was the wrong move. The Wolves needed to make up those 8 points, and Beasley's a better offensive player than Vanderbilt. But the McDaniels-Vanderbilt lineup is what got you back into the game. It's the length. It's the disruption. It's McDaniels is that much better of a rebounder when he's at the three versus when he's playing the four. So that's probably your best rebounding lineup, is with Edwards at the two, McDaniels at the three, Vanderbilt at the four, and of course Towns playing the five. And I think we need to see more of that. We need to see more of McDaniels and Vanderbilt together. These multi-positional defenders who can also rebound their positions well, and in McDaniels' case, do enough as a cutter and enough as a perimeter shooter. And in Vanderbilt's case, be physical on the glass and both ends of the floor and be a solid, you know, guy in the dunker spot. You know, I wish he had better hands, but he can catch and dunk the ball. You know, two out of three times he can be successful in the paint if he gets a mostly open dunk or layup. So I think Finch needs to find more ways to get those two guys, McDaniels and Vanderbilt, on the court together. And the Clippers, they're maybe not the perfect matchup for it, but it worked well. I mean, with the way that the Clippers were playing Towns, especially doubling him on the catch in the post, They were actually letting him shoot threes for the most part. The Wolves didn't go to that enough. He was, what, 3 of 8, but he could have shot probably twice as many threes in this game. So I think to combat that a little bit, having a bigger lineup with the McDaniels and the Vanderbilt both on the court and making the Clippers try and play a little bit bigger is probably the right way to go. So it wouldn't shock me if we saw either a starting lineup tweak or maybe just simply some in-game adjustments to see Vanderbilt and McDaniels play together more frequently. That remains one of the best Timberwolves pairings, and I think we need to see a lot more of that moving forward. In terms of individual numbers, I think it's notable that Cat is still shooting a ridiculous, 50-48-85 from the field, 50% exactly from the field overall, I should say, 47.8% from three and 85.3% from the free throw line. So his overall shooting splits are 50-48-85, which is nuts. On the flip side, D'Angelo Russell, of course, he missed the last game and won't play Friday, but his numbers are hideous. 35.9% from the field, 28.9% from three, and just 77% from the free throw line. Really not great. Edwards' numbers are pretty in line with where they were the first part of last season, which isn't good. It's obviously regression from where he was in March, April, May of last season. But he's shooting just 42.1% from the field and a shade under 31% from beyond the arc. So the Wolves need to see him be more aggressive going to the rim. And that was an issue early last season as well. They need to see that that improve here moving forward. In terms of free throw rate, that's down significantly as well, which is a concern. I mean, last year he was at a 0.225 free throw rate, which basically, if you're not familiar with that stat, it's essentially for every field goal attempt he attempts from the field, obviously, he attempts 0.22 free throws last year. This year, that's 0.15. So that number's down significantly. Another way to look at that, which isn't probably the more accurate way, but this is more tangible. He averaged 3.8 free throw attempts per game last year, this year 3.3. So a full half free throw attempt less per game so far, which of course that adds up when you shoot 80% from the free throw line. That's essentially a half point a game, right? And that's going to add up over time over the course of the season. Given the free throw rate, that gap's going to widen even more. On the positive side for Ant, all the other numbers are great. I mean, the rebounding is way up on both ends of the floor. The assist rate is up. The turnover rate hasn't increased substantially. And the steal rate's the same. The usage rate has increased. And his minutes load has obviously increased as well. He's playing 36 minutes a game, which is just crazy and probably not sustainable. It probably shouldn't be sustainable moving forward. But I thought those numbers were notable as well. Overall, as a team, the Wolves are still first in three-point attempts per game, but just 23rd in three-point percentage. And they still are last in defensive rebounding rate, no surprise, but still first in forcing opponent turnovers. That means they're second in steals per game. So the defense continues to be decent. It slipped a little, now ninth in defensive rating, even after giving up, what was it, like 122 to the Clippers on Wednesday. Offensive rating still 23rd in the league. Again, my prediction is that the Wolves will beat the Clippers. I don't want to say handily, but hopefully fairly easy on Friday night. Get the weekend off, head to Memphis Monday, and have a tough test against John Morant and the up-and-coming Memphis Grizzlies on Monday. We'll, of course, have a post-game podcast following Wolves-Clippers on Friday, so that'll be the weekend show, and then we'll be back on Monday previewing the week, talking about anything that comes up over the weekend and previewing specifically Wolves-Grizzlies on Monday's show. If you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast, now is the perfect time. Please do so, and if you are, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And if you don't want to look at my face while you listen to the show, there's plenty of options that are audio only, including Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course, the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.